Hello and welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church. My name is Steve Harness and we are glad that you have found our website and we pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings as you listen today. Hi, I'm Pastor Steve at the Wilton Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning in for our midweek message here today. We're in the book of Micah, chapter 2. I'm coming to you via our office right now. My camera's being worked on still, so you can pray that that'll come back soon, and maybe I can get some better video recording and live for you through that. When evil dreams come true, that's the title of our message here for today. I hope you're doing all right. It's a busy season. A lot of people are getting ready to go back to school. Teachers are getting their classrooms ready and also trying to learn how to do some video conferencing and things for students that will be remaining at home. So a lot of new things happening with COVID restrictions and changes. And so please be praying. There's a lot of things to pray for. Students returning to school, teachers in the classrooms and through their video sessions that they'll be doing. Let's pray for parents as well. It's not really a good thing if students are left at home alone, so let's be praying for our society with that. Also, let's pray for the elections coming up, and that'll be here before you know it. I know it's kind of like a slow season once all these ads begin, so please be patient, and let's pray for God's mercy for this time that we're living in as well. Wrote down a few other things we can pray for those who are coming to church in person on Sundays. Let's pray that they will continue to remain flexible and encouraging to one another because it is a little bit different in person. And I'm thankful for all those who are using the overflow rooms and also outside and letting whoever wants to be on the inside. I think it's tremendous and there's benefits to all three of those locations. Let's pray for all of those at home who have been watching both now and on Sundays. Those that are watching, and you right now, that you'd remain spiritually engaged and connected to your church family. Let me tell you, we need you. We need one another. And you may say, well, I haven't been able to get out because of COVID and health and the possibilities. I'm going to stay home. That's all right. I see that you're doing that. A lot of people are doing that. I understand the reasoning for that, but let's stay connected. Let's stay connected. And I'm trying to stay connected to you, but let's stay connected spiritually. We need the support of one another. We need the prayers of one another. And so please remain connected. So let's pray for that, spiritual connections. Let's keep praying for our missionaries. Our missionaries need us. And I believe very soon we'll have a special message edition that will highlight some of our missionaries. Let's pray for some special projects. The church needs a new lawnmower. And so please ask the Lord to provide the funds for that. Also, we may need some new tires for our snowplow. So if you have a lead on some new tires at a good price that would fit this truck, you know, we'd love to talk with you about that. We really need to make that upgrade sometime soon. And so be praying for that if you would. New ministry possibilities. We've been clearing out some campsites and just cleaning up some places for the possibility of our church members using some outdoor space during this fall season. And what a beautiful day today is. I hope that as you're watching this, you've had a great day. So let's pray, then we'll get right to our study. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, this day now to open the Bible, to study your word. I pray that these requests that I mentioned, the provision of a lawnmower, new tires, the spiritual connection. Oh, how important it is that even if the church cannot all get together at the same place at this moment, that you would keep us connected spiritually, that we'd support and encourage one another. And so continue to build your church. We thank you for the many visitors and the good spiritual decisions we've seen. We do pray for students going back to school, both here and also college students going to college, and many people are studying online now, and we pray for all the teachers and all the changes and updates and protocols and things that people are adjusting to. We do pray for the election. We ask for your mercy. And now we pray that you'll bless the study. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Micah chapter 2. Years ago, there was an article that was making fun of some labels on different manufactured goods. For example, there were some labels on a portable stroller. Here's what the stroller said. Caution, remove infant before folding for storage. That's like an obvious, you know, let's take the baby out. Kind of like the old expression, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I don't know if anyone really did that. The next one was on a package of fireplace logs, you know, the pre-packaged fireplace logs, some that are easier to light than others. Here's the label, caution, risk of fire. An obvious thing. And on a hairdryer, caution, do not use while sleeping. Well, I hope you're not drying your hair while you're sleeping either. Well, at the risk of sounding obvious, as one person put it, think about this, that every one of us will stand before God and give an account. We make judgments in life, but we will be judged at the end of our life. And whenever that time is, in your life, we must be ready. And judgment does come. We must be ready to give an account, as the Bible tells us. Galatians 6:7 is a great verse to consider as we go through the message today. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, last time we looked at the first few verses of Micah chapter 2, and we had the message, When Evil Dreams Come True, part 1. And the premise was that evil dreaming leads to evil doing. So today we're going to talk about what are the consequences of the evil doing. And of course, the answer to that is judgment. We'll look at three ways that it manifests itself before the actual impending judgment takes place. So the evil dreaming comes about and it brings about coveting and taking, violence and oppression, and taking advantage of and removing God. That's where we left off last time in verse 9. So we're going to read in verse 7 through the remainder of this chapter. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened it? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? So is God in a straight jacket? Can he not do anything about this situation because the people had abandoned the Lord? And what's he going to do about this? Well, of course, he can bless those who walk uprightly. Verse 8, even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. Could you imagine God's people are called the enemy of God? Ye pull off robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. So they were taking advantage of the troops coming back from war. Verse 9, the women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses, from their children have ye taken away my glory forever. So they took away the houses from the widows, their husbands died, so they took away their inheritance. These people were not renting, they didn't have a mortgage, and yet they took advantage and said, your husband's not here, we're going to kick you out of the house and take your land. They were coveting and taking, stealing. Arise and depart, for this is not your rest. Verse 10, because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirits and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. So eat, drink, and be merry. Everything's going to be good. Well, he's going to be the most popular prophet in this time, in this era, and for these people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as a flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come upon them, and they have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord is on the head of them. He's the leader of this. We'll look at verse 12 and 13 in more detail, Lord willing, in a message or two from now. So here we find verse 13. It's our key text, the breaker. That's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the breaker. The people pass by. They're taken into captivity by foreign nations. And Jesus administers judgment. Verse 12 and verse 13 are also prophetic from our time. So not only did something like this happen to the people that Micah was preaching to, but it's going to happen in the future, Lord willing. That's the verses that we'll look at, verse 12 and 13, in greater detail at another time. So there's a very much prophetical sense there. Here's a question. What are the results of evil dreams? Well, last time we learned evil actions. So then, what are the results of the evil actions? Judgment and condemnation are the eventual results. The Lord judges evil. The Lord judges evil. Now, all of us have moments in our life where evil is in our life, and we need to confess that sin and apologize and ask forgiveness and repent of it and move away from it. But the Lord judges evil. The evil dreams result in evil actions. And the people in verses 1 and 2, they're on their bed at night dreaming about what are we going to do when the light comes up and we're going to go out and sin, we're going to steal, we're going to take, we're going to covet, we're going to have all these different sins. Well, there are some symptoms that come before the judgment comes. Because the judgment takes place later. Micah comes, even Isaiah is preaching. There's others who are delivering messages of repentance and hope of turning around and of impending judgment, really demonstrating the mercy of God. And so before they are carried away to Assyria, and later on before they are carried away into Babylon, there were symptoms of their judgment. Kind of like today, some people have COVID-19 and they have no symptoms. They don't even know it. They don't even know that they have it. So Judah and Jerusalem, they had sin and resulting judgment coming, and many of them didn't even know it. Now, there is a remnant. We'll be looking at that in greater detail another time. But some people knew it, but a lot of people, they had the symptoms of judgment, and they didn't know the judgment was coming, or didn't understand it, or they refused to believe it. So here are some symptoms of judgment. Number one, no peace. In verse 10, they had no peace. He mentions this idea of rest. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. This is not your rest because of the pollution. Now, he's not talking about environmentalism. He's talking about the condition of their heart and the moral depravity and sin in their society. So they had no peace in verse 10. There was conflict with other nations. Assyria, later on Babylon, sometimes at occasion in their history, Egypt and others, the Philistines, and you think about others in the Bible history that you know of, conflict with other nations. There was conflict within their own nation, civil war. In fact, they were a divided nation. There was Israel and Judah. You have the 10 tribes and 2 tribes, and there's conflict here ongoing throughout their history from the time after Solomon's death, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. So there's this type of conflict, brother fighting against brother. And friend, can I suggest to you that any nation that is divided internally, better watch out. Because other enemies, not just the brothers and sisters you're fighting against, but other enemies see that, and they see it is a weakness, and it is a problem. And a nation that's fighting against itself is very vulnerable. And Abraham Lincoln knew that. The people in Washington, D.C., back when the southern states tried to secede from the Union, they understood that. A nation cannot be divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And so these people did not have rest. They were even fighting with one another. You think about in history, what happened to Rome? Who came in and wiped Rome and their Roman Empire off the map? Well, it was division. A couple leaders fighting, then a few leaders fighting, and 4 leaders fighting, dividing everything up. It was internal strife and all their depravity and really moral decay that contributed to that. And so no peace. There was a conflict with other nations, with their own nation, within themselves. There was conflict of conscience. Verse 12 talks about a remnant. Some people knew judgment was coming. Some people, like Micah, understood the need for righteousness and loving the Lord Jehovah God. The rich were taking advantage of the poor. Women were being kicked out of their family estates when their husbands died in battle. Surveyors would cheat on the people of the land and divide up the land and cheat. Boys would be sent off to battle and they wouldn't come home. So there's some guilt about sending them off and not coming back. Relatives would take advantage of other relatives. Some people did not care how bad their society had become and all the sin and coveting and iniquity that was going on. But then there were others like Micah and Isaiah and others who who would pray, the remnant who would cry and pray and confess and repent. And God says, and even in verse 6, there were some that, on the other side of that, they had no shame about the sin. Well, here's the truth about what God is saying. God is saying, this is not the rest I delivered you to. I did not give you this land so that you could live like this and take advantage of people like this and walk away from me being your God like this. This is not the rest that I promised to your forefathers or that I promised to you. This is not how I've told you to live. This is not what I wanted you to have. And so he says, this is not your rest. One indication of judgment is no peace. It's a symptom of judgment. The hammer may not have fallen yet. Judgment is still on the way, a full-blown judgment. But a symptom is a lack of peace. Number two, there is lots of pollution. Lots of pollution. Verse 10, he talks about this lack of peace, this rest not being there because it is polluted. What's he talking about? He's talking about the land. The land, the promised land, the land that I promised you, this place of peace and plenty and blessing, it is now a place not only of a lack of peace, but it's polluted. It's dirty. Spiritually, their hearts were dirty. The ground was full of blood. The land was consumed with idolatry and idol worship and coveting and false gods and people stealing and thieving from one another. The word pollution here means to be foul, especially in a ceremonial or a moral sense. It's the word contaminated, to defile. And a lot of times it's connected to self-defilement. I'm making myself dirty. I'm making my whole family dirty. We are making our society dirty. That's the idea of your land. This place I promised you, your life is polluted. Now think about this. The stuff, the things that they coveted and stole from one another are eventually the things that other people came coveting and wanting to steal from them. Their land, their houses, their other stuff. The land was polluted. And a polluted, sinful, bloodthirsty land would eventually destroy them. The stuff they used, love rather, would eventually be used to destroy them. So they coveted. Armies come in and took what they were coveting. They stole. So other people came in and stole from them the things that they were stealing from others. They were violent to each other. And then other armies came in and sweeps in through the land and is violent towards them. Like what we read in Galatians earlier, you reap what you sow. And so what pollution and dirt is found here? Folks, if you roll in the mud, you're going to get dirty. Recently, we were horse riding, and we had this white horse that we were riding on and enjoying some trail rides, and we came back to the stable and we're washing off the horse, kind of giving it a shower with a special tool and cleaning this beautiful white horse off. And then we walked the horse through the stable and out to the stable yard there, kind of a corral area. And we let the horse go. He was done riding for the day, all clean, beautiful, looking good. And the first thing you know, the horse ran over to a pile of dirt and started rolling around in the dirt. This beautiful white horse now is brown and spotted and has all this dirt matted up against it. A lot of times, that's what we do. We dream evil, we conduct ourselves in evil ways, and we do evil in our lives. And this is an indication, this dirt, this pollution, an indication of judgment. We sin like that as well, don't we? The horse, why would the horse do that? Well, the dirt felt good. It liked it. It kind of scratched its back. Maybe that mud, that dirt against that fresh water-drenched coat of it really just kind of, it felt like a salve or something. It felt good to the horse for whatever reason to get dirty like that. When we sin, if you were honest, the reason you sin is you like it. It feels good. It's fun. You enjoy it. Moses understood this in Hebrews 10, 11, verse 25. He chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yes, sin is pleasurable, but folks, it gets us dirty. Why roll in the mud? You're just going to get dirty. And God does not want us to be dirty. So an indication of judgment, lack of peace, plenty of dirt, and then number three, besides the pollution, there's a lot of proud talk. Much proud talk. In verse 11, we find how one commentator described false prophets gain a hearing by preaching prosperity and luxurious living rather than judgment and exile. Can I suggest to you, when Micah gave this message, he was not popular. People didn't like to hear it. They wanted to go down the streets where the guy was saying, be healthy, be wealthy, do whatever you want, have a good time, everything will be okay. That's what people like to hear. It's like it tickles their ears. It makes them feel good. And verse 11 says, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie. So it's actually a spirit of falsehood, a spirit of lying is what he's preaching. He's saying, I will prophesy to thee of wine and strong drink. He shall even be the prophet of this people. God says, this is who your prophets are going to be. This is who's going to influence your society, your culture, and you. Is people who say basically this, eat, drink, and be merry. It don't matter. Do whatever you want to do. It'll all be okay. And people will listen to that. There's been a lot of teaching like that in religions around the world. You know, all roads lead to heaven. And everybody will be okay. And what's good for you is not good for me. But folks, that type of thinking doesn't matter to me. That doesn't mean anything to me, because it doesn't matter what I think. What does God think? What does God say? And so there's such a really divide when it comes to religions and false prophets and what the Bible actually says. So much proud talk. Proud people refuse several things. They refuse correction. People heard Micah and said no. They heard Isaiah and said no. They heard others who came and preached before these men. They were contemporaries, even before them, and they said no. Proud people have a harder time with accepting the fact that judgment is coming. Why would a proud person have a hard time? Well, because in pride, I'm right. I'm right and you're wrong. And what I think is right and what you think is wrong. And what I think is what matters and what you think matters, Micah, doesn't mean anything. And it doesn't matter to me. And so proud people have a hard time accepting the truth. They have a hard time accepting that there is a judgment that will come one day. Proud people are hesitant to change. And essentially, that's what Micah is saying. And all the prophets would say, repent. Noah said, repent. Let's turn around from God. Micah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, repent. Turn back. Let's lament. Let's confess our sin. Let's turn back to the Lord and go away from sin. But people don't like to change. It's our hard-heartedness. It's our stubbornness, or just the good old-fashioned term, pride. Pride. Sometimes I'll point out to people that they have tradition elevated in their life above the Bible. They have something that's tradition, and they believe it just as much or more than the Bible. And a lot of times they don't really understand and comprehend the Bible as deep as they need to. And so they hold tradition up as something. Can I suggest to you that tradition is superficial? Tradition makes a person feel good, because tradition generally is a list of do's and don'ts, things to do, things not to do. And you can do tradition, and because you have a checklist to fulfill that tradition, then it makes you feel better about yourself. But whenever we elevate tradition above the Bible, it's generally because of pride. It's always because of pride. And generally, really what feeds that is a lack of really understanding what the Bible teaches and holding up tradition above the Bible. You know, if there's tradition in your life, sometimes tradition helps, but sometimes it hinders us from making Bible change and valuing and having Bible priorities that we need in our life on a consistent, vibrant walk with Christ. You know, people like tradition because it's tangible. tradition is not internal. In a Bible, God wants your heart. My son, give me thine heart. These people did not give their heart to God. And so they had a lot of tradition. It made them feel good, but they were not walking close to the Lord. As long as the local prophet says peace and prosperity, it'll be okay. As long as we get 3 points in a poem, then that's all I need for this week, and I'll be all right. This is sheep-like mentality, like a sheep, mentality. Verse 12 mentions these sheep going to where they can be protected in a shepherd's type cave or something. It's a sheep-like mentality. Did you know that sheep can be easily distracted and not know that they're in danger? You could have a weapon over the top of a sheep, but he's munching on clover, and clover tastes good, and he's just munching on that. He's satisfied. He's content because he's eating clover. Have you ever eaten clover? It's a sweet grass out in fields, and it has a sweetness to it, so most animals like clover. So he's munching on that clover, and if you were at maybe a slaughterhouse or something, that sheep would not even know it. They wouldn't even know that their life was endangered at that moment. God likens these people to sheep getting ready for the slaughter like that, a sheep-like mentality, not even knowing it. So judgment is coming. Some would not even know it. Folks, their society had become so bad. And as long as it did not affect them too much, and as long as the TV and famous radio preachers and podcast preachers said, hey, it's okay, you know, you'll have plenty of stuff by next year and it'll be all right, then they were distracted enough and content enough to go along, and they accepted the evil. They did not repent. They did not turn around from the sin. In fact, they rejected Micah's message of truth, which said judgment is coming. Turn back to God before it's too late. So proud people, they have a hard time accepting this. And these people were full of pride. They had messages of pride. They were proud, and they believed the views that they were right. Micah was wrong. He didn't know what he was talking about. Folks, the more pride a person exhibits, the more blind they are to the truth. And God may be trying to get your attention right now. But in pride, you could be like these people who heard Micah, and they're like, well, no, he's wrong. We are right. And they refused in their pride the message of God. People tend to love their sin more than they love God. In fact, they love sin and hate the Lord. And that's the people that Micah was describing here. So when evil dreams come true, evil actions happen. And then, yes, there is judgment. These are some indications of judgment, that judgment is impending, symptoms of judgment, no peace, lots of pollution, and much proud talk. I read about a professor of political studies who challenged his stop sign fine. He had rolled through a stop sign, and he declared that it was unconstitutional for him to be fined for rolling through the stop sign. He had to pay $59 for that traffic ticket. Well, his name was Rod Yellen, and he received the ticket after rolling through the stop sign back in 1998. Well, he fought this until about the year 2002, and he tried to have the proceedings adjourned for a ninth time after he had been injured at a traffic accident right before his appearance in 2002. Here's what Yellen had previously delayed the proceedings to try to not pay that $59 fine for rolling through the stop sign. He said that he had been sucked into a black hole and had forgotten a date, so he missed the first time. Another time, he claimed a repetitive strain injury on his hand that prevented him from preparing for the trial. Yellen filed paperwork claiming stop signs were too vague. He argued stop signs, unlike traffic control devices, don't have any standards and frequencies of calibration, performance, and testing. He also planned to call a perceptual psychologist to testify that the police could not have judged that he rolled through the stop sign because they were moving at the same time as well. The judge continued with the trial. Yellen walked out. The two officers who issued a ticket were called to testify. In a matter of minutes, the judge heard enough. He convicted the professor, but the professor had walked out of the courtroom. You know, he was judged whether he liked it or not. And he had some really weak arguments. Instead of just saying, I rolled through the stop sign, I'll pay my fine and move on. I'm sorry, I repent of it, move on. He wanted to fight it. Folks, we cannot escape the judgment of God. The people Micah preached to learned the hard way when they were carried away to Assyria, when they were carried away to Babylon, when their boys were killed in battle, when their city, Jerusalem, was besieged by the Assyrians. They learned the hard way that you cannot escape the judgment of God. So here are the DNA questions for today. Where do you see a lack of peace in our society? Where do you see a lack of peace in your personal life or in your family? Number two, what is the root of the spiritual pollution that you see in the world today? All this different type of sin in your life, what are the sins? What are the specific sins that you see in society, maybe in your own life? Number three, how can eloquent speakers lead people away from the truth with their proud, boasting, confident talking? Name some ways. Talk about that for a little bit. Number four, do you know of any examples of proud talking? Do you know some personal examples? Do you know some political examples? Do you know some other examples from the workplace or other things in your life of proud talking? And number five, if there is a group that's the remnant that believe God in spite of the sin of the society, who love God in spite of all the idols of the land, if there is a remnant, are you part of the remnant? Are you a Christian? Are you a person who loves Jesus, who has a vital walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? I encourage you with these truths today and these questions to consider. If you've never trusted Christ, connect with me. Send me an email, info@wiltonbaptistchurch.com. Call the church phone number. Let's talk. And you can know Jesus today and have a vital, real relationship with him. Thank you for watching. Church friends and church members, we love you. Church friends, thank you for watching and participating in our midweek service. God bless.